Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins.
All right. This is DolphinsTalk.com, episode 3. I'm Randy. I have Tom on the line. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing out there?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I'm happy that we made it to episode 3. Your episode 2. How you feeling so far?
I'm feeling good. I think this is going to turn out to be something great, and hopefully a lot of people listening.
Man, I already know that. I mean, people are going to love it. I mean, the stats are looking incredible, but only way we can go is up. And, you know, people are enjoying it. We're getting great feedback. Now, the first segment of our podcast, this is right after the draft. We actually want to get into some around-the-league stuff, some around-the-league news. And, actually, we begin with Marshawn Lynch actually being officially on the reserve retirement list. Tom, how you feel about that?
Well, we felt that it was coming for a while with Lynch. Pretty much been pondering retirement for like the last 2 years. The Seahawks officially put him on the reserve retirement list, effectively ending his career. Hopefully we don't see him pop out of retirement to join the Patriots anytime soon. But it looks like he's going to be retired and he's going to enjoy it. And he's definitely got the money.
I know he's definitely got the money. Hopefully he's just here so he doesn't get fined.
That's
but
right.
Actually, do you have a great memory or a moment from Marshawn Lynch or the great Marshawn Lynch?
Well, the best moment that I can remember is sitting down watching the playoffs against the New Orleans Saints, and Beast Mode was born when he basically broke 12 tackles on the way to the end zone.
He caused a human earthquake. And it was crazy. It went out through the Richter scale. It was crazy. There was also another part of NFL stuff that happened this week in NFL. The Redskins went back to spending some money. They got Josh Norman a week before the NFL draft. And they have Jordan Reed being signed to a multi-million dollar contract. How you feel about that?
He definitely deserved it after his play last year. He had 11 touchdowns, I believe close to 900 yards receiving. He was Kirk Cousins' favorite target, particularly in the red zone. He's a very versatile tight end. You can kind of consider him like an Antonio Gates-style tight end. So he got paid 5 years, $50 million. He's now locked in with Josh Norman for that same time frame. The only contract he still has to finish up is Kirk Cousins at this point. He's on his franchise tender, which he signed for about $20 million.
Wow. Wait. This is a first-year starter now getting $20
million? $20 million. He is one of the top 10 paid quarterbacks in the league right now.
What a time to be a quarterback right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go try out with the Dolphins in the next couple weeks.
All right, so there was also some moves here, too, with the Jets. Sort of like a rumor that they tried to trade with the Giants for the 10th pick to draft Laremy Tunsil, who the Dolphins picked up at 13th. How you feel about that?
Well, the Jets needed to make a move at tackle, especially with the Bertrand Ferguson retirement. He needed to obviously the Jets needed to get somebody at that tackle position. They decided that it was too rich to move up to 10, particularly since the Giants were in love with Eli Apple at that point. So it was fortunate the Dolphins were able to get him at 13 as a division rival was trying to trade up to get him.
And as you can see right now, Laremy got drafted by the Dolphins, which is great for us. Jets got Darren Lee, who I think is going to be a very good linebacker. I mean, we all got really good deals. Another story that actually popped up this week, or actually today, Raquel Smith, the wife of the late Will Smith, she accepted the MBA from his graduate MBA from the University of Miami. How'd you feel about that?
It's a somber moment. Obviously, the unfortunate passing of Will Smith in a horrific road rage incident down in New Orleans. It was a sad sight to see. It's good to see that she's, it looks like, in pretty good spirits, but obviously the Will Smith shooting was something that was very, very tough to watch. And obviously having Raquel having to live with the fact that she actually witnessed it and also was a part of that shooting, which I believe she was shot in the leg while she watched her husband die. I mean, it was awful, but, you know, very good to see her out there and accepting the NBA on Will's behalf.
It was a great, you know, tearful moment. I'm just praying for them and their family right now. And the last two tidbits of the week that were kind of interesting. One was Danny Amendola restricted contracts. He reconstructs his contract with the Pats to stay there. How'd you feel about that?
It's still a lot of money. Amendola's been he had one good season, I believe, in St. Louis before he was hurt. Went to New England. Kind of became a put on the back burner, especially last year. He had some injuries, but it's Edelman's team, and Amendola, even when Edelman was hurt, was not really the primary target of that team. It seemed, you know, he took a big pay cut. I still think $7 million is quite a big chunk for him. $750,000 if he makes the roster each of the next 2 years. So, I mean, that's a lot of money on the line for a guy that's really your number four receiver.
Exactly, and the thing is, he did make some plays for them this season, especially with Edelman out, and even with Gronkowski being their horse of a receiver, tight end type of player. Now, the last tidbit we actually had from this week was the Cowboys are building a $1.5 billion practice facility. Like, Jarrett is just clearly just throwing money around like he's at King of Diamonds right now, isn't he?
He's the amount of money this guy spends is unbelievable. It's too bad he didn't invest into a quarterback in the offseason with Romo coming up on 38 and another collarbone injury. Jerry did not spend money on a quarterback. But, you know, as long as the players are comfortable in a practice facility, can we throw it on, I guess.
Exactly. But $1.5 billion, like, and then not even that. I mean, remember, he bought the big stadium, the AT&T Stadium, which I think was like $2 billion, if I'm mistaken. Now, yeah, we actually get into some Dolphins news right now, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. So the first thing we actually want to go and talk about is Coach Shula. I heard he was hospitalized for a little bit. Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, Coach Shula was hospitalized this past week. Seems like he had some sort of ailment. I believe it might have been the flu. I'm not entirely sure on specifics, but his wife did a press release saying that they're hoping for a full recovery. I believe he was in and out of the hospital. But, you know, Coach Sula at his age, anything that happens to him that ends up in the hospital, you know, we just pray that he's going to be fine. You know, Coach Sula, obviously, a huge part of this organization and will forever be the greatest coach in NFL history, despite what Patriots fans think.
Yeah, I think he is the greatest coach of all time. You have to have a Coach Shula moment. He's been a coach for so long. Tell me what is your Coach Shula moment?
Well, I wasn't around for the best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one that stands out in my mind was just the reaction on the sideline during the Thanksgiving game in 1993 against the Cowboys. After the ball was touched, and you can see Shula just jumping up and down on the sideline. Yelling that it was his team's ball to get the ball back. You know, his excitement there, you know, showing even the team that year was pretty damn good, but that game really turned the fortunes for both teams. Unfortunately for the Dolphins, did not leave to the Super Bowl. I believe that year they lost to the Chargers in the AFC title game, if I'm not mistaken. So that was one of the best memories I have of Coach Shula. Obviously, you know, watching him and Dan Marino communicate for the years that they were there, I believe it was about 13 years, was a treat to watch.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think my favorite Coach Shula moment, I have two actually. One, my stepfather actually worked for him for a little bit. So I remember, you know, being this little kid and telling my stepdad, hey, I have this Dolphin jacket. Can you have Coach Shula sign it? My dad, he's from the Caribbean. He doesn't know anything about football. He gets him the jacket. He comes back later on that night. And he brings me a jacket, and I see it signed. And like, I swear, I was like, man, this is a great, 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 great feeling for me here. And then what happened? I think my grandmother was like, oh man, this jacket looks dirty, and she washes it. Kind of like tore my like 7-year-old heart apart. And the other one I had of Shula was actually, I think this is actually ongoing now. But he talks about, like, people talk about this Bears, you know, this 1985 Bears defense and this Bears team that lost one game. But he always brings up that one game where they actually beat the Dolphins, had Marino, and they just beat them that Monday night game when they had the 72 team out there on the field getting recognized. How'd you feel about that?
That was a great experience. I was only two at the time, but obviously I've seen the game. I've seen the highlights. That was utter annihilation of the 85 Bears, which arguably is one of the best teams in NFL history. But on that night, that one loss that they took that season, Dan Marino and company they fed it to him on Monday Night Football in front of a huge audience, as well as obviously the 72 Dolphins. It was a great night for the franchise, that's for sure.
It was like the stars were aligning, and everything good happened. I think actually going to the next point, we could talk about a super, super high, going to like sort of a low with Deion Jordan. Let's say he was suspended all last year because of, let's say he was suspended because of drugs. And now we're just hearing stuff about him making a comeback this year. We got his boy Kiko Alonso coming, playing for the team this year. How do you feel about that? Do you think he's going to make a comeback?
I think that's the case. I mean, the Dolphins didn't go for a linebacker in the draft, which was kind of surprising from my perspective, which leads me to believe that the communication that Kiko Alonso has given the team at this point is that Deion Jordan will be back with the team at some point here in the near future. There's pictures of him actually working out at the gym this week. His agent posted some pictures of Deion Jordan getting into work. It looks like he's getting prepared to play the entire 2016 season. Hopefully, if he keeps his head on straight. A remarkable talent. It's just mentally that he's got to get better. Mentally. If he's got his head in the game, I mean, that's a huge steal as potentially a defensive end as well as maybe an outside linebacker.
Now, there's this thing about him wanting to be a defensive end, not even like a 3-4 rush linebacker, but a defensive end. But there's this thing I keep hearing about them wanting to put him at offensive linebacker. I mean, not offensive, but outside linebacker. How do you feel about that?
Well, in the time that we watched him in 2014, I remember watching him against the Patriots intently and going stride for stride with Rob Gronkowski. So I think he's definitely got the athletic ability to be able to play outside linebacker. He would definitely be an upgrade on what we currently have. I mean, Jawan Jenkins is a fairly decent outside linebacker. He's still a little raw. Chris McCain, I think they'd want his hand in the ground. As a defensive end, I don't know if they're going to be having him as outside linebacker. So, I mean, if Deion Jordan has his head on straight, he can keep it on straight, and he's got a motor to do well. Mm-hmm. Could potentially be a steal for this team because it's on house money at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I hope the best for Deion. I know we had a poll earlier about it. We will get to that a little later. I want him to play, and the reason why is he's like a free agent acquisition. We didn't have him last year. Him coming back will certainly do something good for us. If we can get anything from him, that would just be awesome. Now, am I right?
I 100% agree with that. It's just he's got to get his head on straight. It's hopefully Kiko Alonso and the guys around him really look after him. As crappy as that sounds, they got to keep their eye on him so he doesn't screw up.
Man, I just hope I hope for the best for Deion. Now, we actually got information about this whole list that the NFL does with the best 100 players, regardless of position. Now, the Dolphins do have players on this list, no matter the record. And we actually got a player on there, Jarvis Landry, actually 98 on the list. How do you feel about that?
I'm baffled, to be honest with you. I watched it live when they were announcing the players, and when I saw Landry's name pop up 98, I kind of just turned it off. It's an absolute shame, and honestly, it's a joke that he's 98. We all see him play. We all know how well he can do. Last year, he was 13th in the NFL in yards receiving. The only guys ahead of him, as we know, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Marshall, and Odell Beckham are the top five.
Man, that's crazy, though.
He actually had a better season than Emmanuel Sanders, T.Y. Hilton, Jeremy Maclin, Amari Cooper, Sammy Watkins, Doug Baldwin. And these are the guys that were probably on arguably better offensive teams. Landry had only four touchdowns last year, but the plays that he made, he had 60 first downs, no fumbles. He didn't cough up the football. He averaged almost 73 yards a game. He's a playmaker, man. And just to see him at 98 is stunning.
Exactly. And even that, there was this crazy stat I saw that said he had like over 204 catches in 2 years, and that's the fastest somebody's had 200 catches ever. Or I think he's the only person to do that. Like, that's ridiculous. And he's 98. That really had me ripping out my hair, even though I don't really have any hair. I have like a kind of a low haircut, but it's really, really crazy.
It's unbelievable from that perspective. And yes, he did set the rookie the 2 year record for a rookie and a second year player in total receptions. If I'm not mistaken, that number is right around the 204 mark. 194 is his total catch. He had 84 in his rookie year and 110 last year. He also had 18 rushing attempts for 113 yards, and obviously he had that big touchdown against Tennessee where he pretty much broke every tackle you could think of.
This guy is amazing, and I think he's going to take it to another level next year. But 110 last year, and then the year before that, 84. Like, this guy is a little bit higher than 98 on your list. Hell, even Andrew Luck made the list, and he was garbage all last year.
And he was hurt.
And I mean, it's really amazing. I just wonder who they have ahead of him in this top 100. Now, there was also some interesting information, too, about the mini camp. I don't know if you're familiar, especially about some of the changes the Dolphins have done, especially with them doing more or less camp and more just rookies being there. And could you just fill me in on this?
Yeah, the camp basically is off the field. Adam Gase believes that having the guys on the field after they've been basically poked and prodded and traveled and did all the draft things, all the combines, the pro days, these guys need a break physically. So what the team decided to do during the combine is to discuss ideas of what they can do in this rookie camp. And what they decided to do is get the kids into the facility, basically get them some life lessons of the NFL, give them an idea of, give them the agents' names, give them people they can trust with the money, and sit down, take a look at the playbook, and let them know the concepts that they're going to be running so they can get ready to get on the field in 2 weeks. I have to tell you, it's pretty innovative. I haven't seen too many teams do it. Jacksonville actually followed suit this year with the unfortunate incident with Dante Fowler last year, getting hurt in the rookie minicamp. The Dolphins wanted to take it easy on these guys. They didn't want to get anyone hurt, and they wanted them ready to go for when it really mattered.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that Coach Gase said in the press conference today that he feared, especially what happened last year for Jacksonville with Dante Fowler, that they wanted to change it up a little bit more. Now, we actually had some players sign their contracts today. The top pick signed his contract. The sixth-round pick, Jakeem Grant, signed his contract. And also the local boy, Brandon Dorothy, all signed their picks right now, in addition to 12 other players that are undrafted free agents signed their contract. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's good that with this rookie pay scale that they can get these guys into camp without any holdouts. Obviously, that's always been a long-standing issue going back about 5-6 years. But once they did the new CBA and they have that rookie weight scale, everything kind of falls into place a little bit easier. The only thing that typically hangs up some of these guys in the first round is just the guaranteed amount of money. The contract is 4 years for Laremy Tunsil. Brandon Doty is in. I believe he signed a multi-year deal. I think what's going to really transpire out of this whole thing is the guys will be ready to go with the playbook, and they're getting ready to get into camp. And hopefully they'll be prepared for once they get on the field with the veterans, Ndamukong Suh, Cameron Wake. They're going to give Tunsil a very rude welcoming into the NFL for sure.
How is he going to go up against Mario Williams, Ndamukong Suh, Cameron Wake, Earl Mitchell, especially? It's more of a welcome to the NFL moment for him. It's going to be better, especially with him playing that front four. I just feel confident that he's going to learn quickly, and he's just going to go out there and just handle business. Have you seen some of the rookie interviews today with the players?
I didn't get a chance to actually watch it. I just kind of breezed through some of the quotes that were being given out by some of the guys on Twitter that cover the football team. The confidence level in some of these players is absolutely incredible, in my opinion.
Exactly.
Leonte Carew is already saying that he really believes that he's like Jarvis Landry. I believe it was Jakeem Grant is basically talking like he's going to be the next Darren Sproles. He said he could have beaten Chris Johnson in a 40-yard time.
I love that confidence.
And you know what? This team has been lacking confidence for the longest time, and having guys come in that have that mentality that they're the best guy on the field, that's something that's been sorely missed. And I think that attitude of the team may potentially start to change.
I completely agree. They were missing that alpha. The only alpha they really had on the team was really the coach. Now you have drafted alphas in addition to the players you've already had there before, with Jarvis Landry, even with Tannehill being the quarterback. He's supposed to be the leader. And you had Ndamukong Suh. Just the confidence of these players. They have me feeling good. Like, I'm ready to go ahead and put on some pads and get ready to play. Now, we had some polls actually for this week too. Now that we can actually go ahead and get into. All right, so let me just go ahead and check these polls right quick. Now, I think I only had three this week, and one of them was do you have faith in Deion Jordan? And the numbers, they're frightening close. Last time I checked, it was 49-51, which is crazy, even at 121 votes. And 51% said no. How do you feel about that?
I have faith that he will make a comeback. I think if he's living with the right guys, I think they're going to have him rumored with Kiko Alonso. If he has any will to do well, I think Deion Jordan's going to prove it. That guy had a hell of a motor in college. He was a beast. That's why Miami moved up to get him at three. They felt like he was, in essence, the next best thing at defensive end. They considered him like Jason Taylor from a physicality standpoint, how he can get after the quarterback. But something along the way changed in his mentality, and, he got suspended. So everyone gets a second chance, and to be honest with you, as fans, we gave Ricky Williams that second chance, and Ricky Williams did not disappoint.
And I completely understand. I just, like I said earlier, I just hope that he comes in and we get something from him. Now, we also did another poll, and then we had rookies last year, and who actually takes the biggest jump? We had Devontae Parker at 80% and Jay Ajayi at 20%, and then everybody else, Jameel Douglas, and other was 0%. It was a pretty wide gap, especially who's going to take that jump. How do you feel about that?
There's going to be a lot on the plate of both of those guys. I think Ajayi's got a little bit more on his plate this year than Parker. Being the guy in that running back room is amazing, considering where we thought Ajayi would be coming into the season, with the potential of C.J. Anderson's arrival before he was re-signed in Denver. It's incredible that Ajayi is going to be the lead back, but Adam Gase has a lot of faith in him for the small little mini camp that they had, the voluntary practices. He feels that Ajayi can be that guy to be able to provide him enough yards to keep the chains moving, and he's a hell of a receiver out of the backfield.
Exactly.
Regarding Devontae Parker, we saw what he had in the last about 6 weeks of the season last year. I think he's only going to get better this year, especially in this offense. You know, we've seen what happened with Alshon Jeffery in this offense. Granted, he was hurt last year, but Adam Gase really got him going when he was healthy. So I expect big things out of Parker and Ajayi, but I think Ajayi's got a lot more on his plate.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I do hope that I think all three of them are going to certainly contribute and make better plays this year. Now, the last poll I had was actually of the veterans that were added onto the team, you know, who are you more excited to see? We had Mario Williams at 28%, Kiko Alonso at 60%, and Byron Maxwell at 8%, and you have 4% at other. There were actually some replies to this one that actually said, how about all of the above? And I completely agree on that. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited to see what these guys bring to the table. The Byron Maxwell thing is going to bring him a lot of potential. He's getting paid a lot of money to be the top corner in this organization. He's got to bring it better than he did last year. He's got to really revert back to his Seattle days to make this deal really make sense. I think if Kiko Alonso can stay healthy and get back to his rookie season form, I think, you know, we're going to have a tackling machine and a guy that can cover downfield. He's very smart. He's athletic. And Mario Williams, yeah, he quit on the Bills last year, but obviously he wasn't very happy with what was being done in that organization from a defensive standpoint. And I think Vance Joseph's going to let Mario Williams be Mario Williams.
And I completely understand. I think Mario comes back, and he comes back, and he's better than he was 2 seasons ago when he had 14 sacks. And that will actually do our podcast. How do you feel about that, Tom?
Well, it sucks that we're ending, but you know what? That's why we always have next week.
Exactly. I'm very excited about what's more to come, especially with more stuff and more news coming up, especially with this Dolphins team. I'm Randy. You can find me actually on Instagram, Snapchat. I'm also on Twitter. My Twitter address is RJC Lifestyle. You can go ahead and find me there. I'm Randy Savage. Go ahead, Tom. Tell them what your Twitter account is.
My Twitter account is at TErnestC13. I am on Twitter. You guys can at me whenever you'd like. If you guys have comments, concerns, questions, anything you want to ask, we're here to give our opinion. At the end of the day, you know, this is what I'd like to do, talk about Dolphins.
Let's talk Dolphins. All right, see you next week, guys, and fins up.
Fins up. Let's go.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins.